We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Heat Beat with Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, we have Mr. Harrison Citron, Hot Take Harry. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Mr. Co-founder Brian Goins slash producer. Brian, what's your title now? Is it co-founder slash producer?
I'll take co-founder slash producer slash content manager.
There we go. Brian is a jack of all trades. Brian is a behind-the-scenes man that keeps us rolling. And for the second time on the program, Mr. Anthony Chang of the Palm Beach Post. How are you, Mr. Chang?
Good, good. I'm just surprised you guys had me back for a second time.
I mean, listen, you did such a good job filling into Jason Leisure's shoes. I mean, it was a low bar. I mean, he set the bar real low, but you know, you cleared the hurdle, and we wanted to have you back, man.
How many guys said no before you got to me?
I mean,
everyone.
Izzy said no. Sedano,
Barry,
Mead, Lebatard. Yeah, I mean, we had to go down. Jason said no, but you know, you were clutch, man.
That's fine. That's fine.
So I don't even know where to get started because I want to get in. I mean, Dwayne's obviously coming back to Miami tomorrow, so we got to get into that. We have some Tyler Johnson stuff I want to get into. We have some new segments we're going to debut. I guess I want to start with something that happened last week. Anthony, you were covering the team up in Oklahoma City. What the hell is going on with James Johnson and a toilet and some ghosts?
I actually was not in Oklahoma City for the trip. My partner Tom was on this trip. But
failed us. Failed us, Anthony.
I have been filled in on what happened.
Give us a deets.
He was just sitting on the toilet, and he felt the ground shaking underneath him, which is an awful feeling, I'm guessing.
Terrifying.
And he did not know what to do. So, he was on the toilet during the earthquake, which is suddenly became one of my biggest fears, I think, when I heard that story.
I mean, that's the worst thing that could happen to you during an earthquake, right?
Being on a toilet, yeah.
That's pretty bad. I can't think of much worse than that.
And it was confirmed that he was doing number two, correct?
That I don't know. I know some people tweeted that. Again, I wasn't there to get every single detail.
We're journalists.
What was the detail? Him sitting on a toilet or standing? Does he sit to pee? Because that would be weird.
What's wrong with sitting to pee?
That's true, actually. It's true. I guess you could assume that, you know.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are you slandering peeing sitters?
No, what? Come on.
What's wrong with that?
That's weird. That's
strange. In the middle of the night, you don't want to turn the light on, so you don't want to miss, so you sit down. What's wrong with that? I know plenty of people that do that.
Sounds like you do that.
I mean, I do that, you know. I just, you know, 'cause what's wrong with that?
Okay,
I feel alienated. What if James Johnson is a sitting peer?
I was gonna say, I don't think James Johnson. I can't imagine that guy being a sitting peer.
I think he's bigger than people expect. That's a big man.
He's built differently too. He's built different. I mean, he has his legs. His like calf muscles are ginormous. He is a big guy, and he moves well for his size. Just by looking at him, you would never think he was so athletic and so, you know, he can handle the ball. He really moves well for his size because he is a big dude.
That play in Toronto that he had, where he like took three dribbles and finished in like 3 seconds. I was like, what? He has that in him?
Yeah. I think that's why he's in the rotation. Derek Williams isn't, because he brings that quality along with his, you know, defensive ability and his physical play and rebounding and all that, which he has over Derek at this point. But he also brings the offensive game, which to be honest with you, I'm even surprised with. I didn't know he brought this to the table. I think that's what intrigues Bolscher and why he's been in the rotation to start the season.
Has Derek Williams taken this well? Because I think during preseason, you would imagine that he thought he was going to be a rotation player.
Yeah, I mean, I think he led the team in minutes in the preseason, and most people thought he was going to start, you know, opening night.
Yeah.
Then Babbitt was a starter on opening night, and people were kind of surprised, but they're like, oh, okay, maybe Derek will end up playing more minutes, you know, kind of like Tyler Johnson. He doesn't start, but still plays like 20, 30 minutes a game. But, you know, Derek had, I think, gotten in the last game for the first time this season, played a couple minutes. He's played like 3 minutes all season.
Plus four.
Four, yeah. It's
No, he's plus four.
Plus four? Oh, okay.
Plus there four in the season, man. Four. Leads the team in plus minus.
There you go.
The secret.
Not a small sample size.
No, of course not. I mean, 3.2 minutes. I think that's all we need.
But, yeah, I mean, I think we've talked to him a couple times since the start of the season. I think I talked to him in the beginning, after opening night. He was surprised that he didn't play opening night. So I can only imagine.
He blindsided him?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he said. He said he was a little bit surprised that he did not play opening night. Him and Spoelstra had a conversation after the game. You know, Derek was kind of taking the approach of, you know, it's a long season. It's only been one game. I'm not panicking yet, but you have to think, 6 games into the season, a few minutes played. I'm sure he's not too happy.
When does Derek Williams revolt? Like, when does he, you know, he comes down to Miami for 1 year, $5 million. He obviously wants to try to build back up his stock going back into free agency with a lot more money next year. Like, when does Derek Williams start getting angry that he's, because even I like what James Johnson does sometimes, but a lot of times he scares me. And I think Derek Williams can do what he does to a degree, and maybe more effectively.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he could be revolting already. We just don't know it. I think it would be later on in the season. And like you said, he's on a short-term contract, so you would think he wants to, like you said, make his money, which was a concern for this team heading into the season. There's a lot of guys in that situation. So they all are looking to make their money, and they all want to put up good numbers and, you know, impressive numbers. So you think at some point, and just by judging by Derek's comments after the first game, that he wasn't thrilled by not playing, you would assume if this continues, and, you know, 20 games into the year, he's played a couple games, he could start, you know, getting unhappy and expressing his displeasure. But it is early. Like Amari last year, I think he barely played like over the first 20 games. Then he ended up starting making over 20 starts in the season. So it's early. You know, things change. And we know about Spoelstra is he's not afraid to change rotation from one game to the next. He'll change it, you know, drastically from one game to the other. So I think at some point Derek will have his time to get consistent minutes.
Real quick, what's going on with McRoberts? Because he's ready to play. He's not ready to play. Are they going to play him? I don't even know what's going on there.
Good question. We were talking to the other beat reporters where we were all talking about that today. He's apparently healthy, but I guess Spoelstra wants him to practice more before putting him in there. it's weird because Josh Richardson got cleared like a couple days before they put him back on the floor. Yeah, and just went in. And Josh McRoberts has been not been on the injury report for like a week or two now, and he still hasn't gotten on the court. I mean, it's not like they don't have a need for him. I mean,
but they're so thin up front, like.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like they're so deep and they really don't need him to play. Like, if he was healthy, he could legitimately be the starting power forward if they wanted him to be. You know, if he stays healthy, you could argue that he's the best power forward on the team. So I don't know what's going on there. But you would think assumed he would make a season debut, but you never know.
Yeah, that's so weird. I want to get into a little bit of Justice Winslow. Harrison, I know we've been having this conversation on Twitter a lot. Winslow in his increased role, the offensive production has plummeted. That tends to happen when a guy gets used more. Usage goes up, efficiency goes down. What? I mean, I don't. People are revolting against poor Justice. People are mad at him. We're getting the Devin Booker greater than tweets. Harrison, what's going on, man?
You have a player that's not polished, who you knew wasn't polished, who's taking on more responsibility, and people are freaking out that he's not doing well in six games. So it's basically they put a lot of pressure on Justice with all the articles before the season and the increased role, and he's not performing to the standard where I think most of us would want him to be performing. But I'm not ready to do anything drastic. I mean, my brother wanted to trade him. He sent me a text like, "We gotta get rid of Winslow," and I'm like, trade "You're the problem. Who? You're trade the problem with Twitter, man."
Hello,
Gianni. Where did Gianni go?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not hearing him.
Oh my god, I hit the cough button, and I accidentally left the cough button on because I've been coughing a lot.
You were going, and I was just sitting like, "Oh, it must be on my end."
I was saying that it runs in the hot takes run in your family.
It's in our blood. It's in the Citron blood. We just fire them out. Yeah.
To speak to what you were talking about Justice. So he's getting so many open shots. Almost half of his shots are coming wide open as per Synergy. Like, that's crazy. Teams are leaving him wide open statistically. So,
yeah.
And he's bad at these open shots. So yeah, go
there. They're playing him like Tony Allen, right? So, I mean, he needs to get to the point where he's not Tony Allen, where he's a guy that's hitting, I don't know, you got to be able to hit a decent amount of wide open looks at some point. I don't know if it's a confidence issue and he's just getting nervous every time one doesn't go in because some of his shooting numbers have been really bad. You know, the 2-for-13s are difficult to look at even if you're just a box score watcher. And he needs to continue to work and get better. But I don't think it's a lost cause. I mean, the guy's 20 years old. He's in his second year. Some guys have picked up shooting later in their career. I mean, I don't want to use guys that are great at shooting now as an example because I feel like that'll just set the bar higher. But, you know, there are guys like Jason Kidd and Vince Carter who couldn't shoot when they came into the league and became very effective three-point shooters by the end of their career. Like, could not shoot at all.
Chang, what do you think of these numbers? Whatever the NBA considers an open look, Justice is shooting under 35%. And he has almost half his shots coming from that range.
Yeah, he's not shooting well. And I think the interesting thing is he's taking the most shots on the team. Yes. Like he's shooting 31% this season. And he's taking the most shots, which is probably not good for, you know, the Heat. But I think the encouraging thing he is shooting. You know, at least he's not the type of player where, you know, he's struggling and he is just going to like to pass the ball. And you like that mindset because you think that sooner or later, a guy that's talented, he's going to improve. He's going to improve. And I, to be honest with you, I don't think he'll ever be a great shooter. I just don't think that's his game. I think people want him to be this three-point shooter. And maybe that's just not him. You know, like there's some players like Dwayne, for instance, you know, all the time I'm not comparing to Dwayne, but Dwayne never needed the three-point shot. It'd be nice for Justice to develop that, and he probably will improve with the shot, but, you know, maybe that's just not his style. Maybe he is going to end up being more of a facilitator, a guy that can run the offense at that size, who takes it to the basket, who, you know, maybe can hit a three here and there, but this expectation we have for Justice all of a sudden becoming a 35% three-point shooter, I just don't know if that will ever do that in his career. It doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like he has that in him right now. I mean, it's early, 20 years old, but I mean, it's bad. Like all his shots, they're not, a lot of them aren't even close.
I think he has to at least get to league average to be an effective, like the difference between him and Dwayne is Dwayne always had the ball in his hand. Dwayne, it wasn't right. until late that he and Dwayne became an elite cutter, and Dwayne's also an elite finisher. I mean, I think nobody on the Heat right now was finishing at the rate Dwayne was in his prime. Like Dwayne was automatic at the rim, and Justice isn't. So Dwayne had other tools and had the ability to run the offense as a guard that Justice isn't going to have.
No, that's very true. I think you're right. Like he's going to have to hit threes to be
at least league average. At least league average.
At least league average. Right. I just don't ever think he's going to be a above average 3-point shooter. You know, and that's okay. He could still be a good player. You know, like you said, being an average 3-point shooter, because he's such a good defender. He brings so much to the table that that's okay. But
he's right a very now, good rebounder not, too.
Yeah, very good rebounder, and he is. I mean, last year he was a good finisher on the basket, so you would like to think things. You know, law of averages. He'll start finishing more on the rim. It's just. Right now, nobody's finishing around the rim for the Heat, other than really Hassan, because teams are packing the paint, guys are driving in, they're getting to the basket, and there's four defenders there. And they're trying to force up, you know, obviously they see a layup, but there's four defenders, and it's tough, and that's why they're near the bottom of the NBA as far as field goal percentage at the rim.
I believe that they're last in the league, according to the media stats page, which I'm a part of now. Shout out to the NBA. I believe that they're last in the league. Let me just double check. But yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. Guys are packing the paint and they can't finish.
Exactly. So they were talking about it today. Soldier was talking about it. And, you know, what's the solution to that? It's making that extra pass. I think guys are starting to realize we're getting to the paint, which is good. But teams are going to pack the paint against us. So we got to make that extra pass. And that goes for Justice too. Get to the paint and just don't look for yourself. Look for don't just try to finish. If there's a wide open guy in the corner, you know, give it to him. And that should loosen up the paint. But right now, that's a major issue. I think really that's the biggest story around the team struggles right now. They're just not finishing in the paint. And that's because teams aren't giving the paint to them after that season opener. So they're going to have to start hitting outside shots at some point and looking for outside shots.
Harrison, I'm going to get to you a second real quick. The Heat are last at field goal at the rim, and they're in the top half in attempts. So they're shooting a lot, like, Anthony's saying, and they're missing a lot. Harrison, go.
Field goal percentage or field goal makes? Just really quickly.
Field goal percentage.
Okay.
Field goal attempts are they're
what's the percentage?
13th. It's like 51. Okay. Yeah, 51.1.
You don't think it's like a Dion Waiters flu effect? You know, because
that guy.
Because when I used to, I mean, this is a terrible analogy, but it's fine. I'm going to run with it. When I used to coach,
don't do it.
When I used to coach younger kids, you know, teenagers. Any games where my team started missing free throws, the whole team was awful at free throws. And the games when they were really like hitting the free throws, which is so hit or miss when they're younger, they were on. So is it possible they're watching Dion just throw up these terrible shots and just like, well, we gotta, you know, we just gotta help our teammate out here. So just flinging it up and making nothing.
You're saying that they're missing on purpose to make Dion Waiters feel better.
No, that was a hot take I made up at the end, but I think it could be something where it's a team flu. It's the Dion Waiters flu. Copyright that, please.
It's contagious.
I guess you can't rule it out, but I just think they
don't encourage him.
I'm not going to dismiss it. I mean, you never know. You never know.
Oh my god.
Never. It could be contagious.
Dion Waiters flu.
But I mean, I just think guys are trying to be aggressive, and especially after that first game where they scored, whatever, 76 points, 74 points in the paint, and they saw that they could do that. And, you know, in the preseason, opponents were saying, this team has a lot of guys who can attack the basket, and they put a lot of pressure on the defense. And the Heat are trying to do that. I mean, that's really probably what they do best. I mean, they have Hassan inside. They have Goran, who finishes well on the basket. Dion, who... it's probably a better, you know, attacker than a shooter at this point. Justice,
he's shooting better than he's finishing, though.
I know. It's crazy. Like, the numbers are crazy this year. But I think that they're trying to play to their strength, but it's just defenses aren't giving it to them. And they have to see that. They have to realize that and adjust. And
the offense blows.
You know, I think that they have to make that adjustment.
They're getting... I was looking at the numbers. They're getting so many open shots. And you watch the games, you see. They're getting open look after open Babbitt three after open Babbitt three, open Deion three, open James Johnson three, open Justice. Like, they're getting so many open shots. And they're getting all, outside of the Justice shots, they're getting all the shots they want. And it's like, and they're all bad shots, but they're all open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why Babbitt's in there, because Spoelstra knows the teams are going to give him those open shots. And, you know, like it or not, Babbitt's the best shooter on the team from three-point range. So that's why he's in there. He's getting those shots. It's just about hitting them. And I don't know if they have enough guys on the team that can consistently make those shots. I mean, that, I think that's the issue. Like, it, are there enough guys on the team that can make consistently from game to game make those shots and force defenses to play them differently? I just don't know.
It's a testament to Spoelstra and to Goran and Hassan, by the way, that they're getting every shot that they want. And if they had a league average player at those positions, because I think what's happening here is they're being brought down by the like good value talent that they have on the court. And it's just debilitating because they're well coached. Goran's playing really well. And Hassan, I don't even think Hassan's even played his best yet. But Hassan's producing at an immense level. And if they just had guys that were okay, I mean, I guess they have below average guys. If they had guys that were okay to slightly above average, I don't think it'd be a question that this team would make the playoffs because of how, at least the offense runs fluidly. They just miss a lot of shots.
I think the shots will start to fall. I just think you're having like a poor start to the season. And listen, this team is what it is. Like, we're going to have trouble against really good teams. We're going to have trouble on the road. We knew that coming in. You know, we're not going to go to Oklahoma City, who's, you know, one of the
hottest teams in the NBA. I don't even know. Are they good?
Oklahoma City?
I don't know if they're good. Are they good?
Yeah, with Russell Westbrook as an angry demon. That team can be top four in the West. Like, he's a locomotive. I don't even think he's that efficient of a player, but just his pure determination and will scares other teams. Like, I think people are afraid of him.
Russell Westbrook puts the loco in locomotive.
Correct.
Vive la vida loca. I wish we had, like, some imaging, like some Spanish imaging. What were you going to say, Anthony?
No, I agree. Like, I think so far, things other than the Charlotte game, which you could say that he probably should have won. They were up by whatever 19 at home. The season has pretty much gone as people would expect. I mean, they won the opener against Orlando. They lost to San Antonio, which people expected.
They've only been favored twice by Vegas. The Charlotte game, which they won, and the Kings game.
And they won one of them, and they lost. I mean, they lost both games on the road, which people expected. Toronto to win on the road with this team is probably not realistic. And then Oklahoma City.
They were competitive on the road against Toronto. Like, that was, I thought that was kind of impressive.
Yeah, I mean, for a half, pretty much. Right. I mean, I guess going into the second half too, but you know, I don't know. I mean, this team is so right now. They're so inconsistent. Like, they play so well in stretches, and then all it takes is a 6-minute stretch, and they're, you know, all that is for naught because
they don't hit starters. The starters have this great net rating. It's like over 30. I haven't checked. Probably the Oklahoma City game threw a wrench in that, but I know they were really good last. Like, that starting unit has played really well.
Yeah, and I was looking at it today. Hassan, before the season, Spoelstra said, I want Hassan to play maybe 36 minutes a game. He's averaging 30 minutes a game, which is fine. But
that's a foul trouble, though.
They want to play him more. He has to stay on the floor for this team. It is a totally different team when he's not on the floor. He needs to stay out of foul trouble. When he's found himself in foul trouble, at least two out of his first 16, maybe three if I remember correctly.
I think it's three.
He found himself in foul trouble, you know? So that's a big issue, too. If he stays out of foul trouble, you know, and he just plays 5 or 6 extra minutes, maybe they avoid that bad stretch, you know, with him on the court. So, you know, that could change things, too. I just don't know. I mean, teams are looking to get him in foul trouble. That's the thing. So it's going to be tough, and he has to be disciplined, and he hasn't proven that yet through 6 games, but it's early.
I guess. Oh, we got to move quickly. We have a little bit of time left. What do you want me to, Anthony? I'm going to let you pick, because we have one little stretch left to go, and then we're going to let you go. Should I walk back some TJ slander, or should we talk a little D Wade before he comes to Miami? What do you want to talk about? I'll let you pick.
We'll have enough time to talk about Tyler. Don't worry. Let's discuss Dwayne because
okay.
He's coming back.
It's kind of the quotes that Dwayne had the other day. I thought were interesting because he was saying how he kind of gets how it is. He really voiced that he was hurt and he felt backstabbed, but he also threw in there that he loves and understands Riley, which I thought was really interesting and kind of, I guess, akin to him, but I don't think anybody expected him to say that. I thought that was strong. That kind of made me happy.
Yeah, it was interesting and consistent with what he said, I think, throughout the whole summer, like that he still loves Pat and, you know, he's learned that it's a business. But I also think a lot of it is both sides trying to put a lot of PR spin to this story.
Are you trying to ruin the mythology? No.
I mean, I don't doubt, like, Dwayne and Pat have been through so much together that I'm sure when it's all said and done, you know, they'll repair their relationship. But the fact that they haven't talked in almost 6 months, like that's, you know, you could say you love a guy and, you know, I'm sure deep down he loves him, but there's some negative feelings there toward each other. So I think tomorrow it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if we hear, you know, Dwayne, did you talk to Pat Riley? Did you end up, you know, did he come out of his way to talk to you or did you go out of his way to kind of break the ice? I'm really interested to see what happens when they're going to be in the same building tomorrow. You know, you would think they're going to see each other somewhere in the arena. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out tomorrow.
Two quick questions, and then we'll let you go. First, do they hug?
Pat and Dwayne?
Yeah, if they see each other. Do they hug?
That's tough.
I think they hug, man. I think they hug it out. I think Riley tries to hug him. I think...
A big hug or like a pat on the back?
Like a hug, like, oh, hey, what's up? And just like a hug and then like two or three taps on the shoulder and then, you know, release.
All right. I mean, I can see that happening. I think.
Yeah, for TV cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. The PR spin. There you go.
Okay. Last thing. Yes or no? Does Dwayne cry? Ooh, a tear.
I think he tears up. I think he teared up. He almost teared up when he was speaking to us at his basketball camp days after he made the decision and he had that appearance in Miami.
He looked so crushed.
He was emotional. So I think tomorrow when, you know, the fans are expected to give him like a standing ovation and the highlight video plays as in the first time out and they kind of just see that and it soaks in the moment. I don't know if he'll cry, but I think
tear.
His eyes will well up. With tears.
I lied to you when I said one more thing.
I have one question too. I think my question is really important.
I think mine's the same. What are you going to ask?
I want to ask, why hasn't Riley sent that email yet?
Oh, I don't care about that. Don't answer that. I'm not doing this email
propaganda. Where do you put the emails?
No. Don't answer that, Chang. Don't answer that. Don't feed the machine.
What server is he using?
A slow one, apparently.
Are you excited for tomorrow to cover that? That must be really cool.
Yeah, no, it is cool, and especially, like, you know, I grew up watching Dwayne as a kid. Like, you know, I was, when he got drafted, I was 13 or 14 years old, you know, so I grew up watching him. I think that's going to be a cool moment, you know, in Miami sports history, South Florida sports history. He's probably the greatest athlete ever down here, you know, and it's going to be a memorable moment for sure.
You were 13 when Wade got drafted. Am I older than you?
How old are you?
28.
Yeah, you're older than me. I'm 27.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Mr. Chang, you're living the dream. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Hey, no problem. Happy to be on.
Hey, take care. Hey, everybody check out Anthony Chang. Where can they follow you on Twitter? Because you're doing great stuff.
At Anthony _Chang, Chiang.
Best man covering the Heat right now. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Take care.
So that was Anthony Chang of the Palm Beach Post, gracious with his time. I think...
That's What? I thought he was so much older than that. Like, I never really
looked at his background. He's so young. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I never clicked on his picture and really looked. So I just saw this picture and I'm just like, oh, he must be like in his 30s. Like, Jason Leisure looked younger than him.
No, Jason Leisure has a hairline.
Yeah, that's true.
Jason's hair. Harrison, are you going to get emotional at the game? We're both going. But you don't do that.
I'm not sure. I was at LeBron's first game back in Miami, which was cool. That was the Christmas game.
You're King Slander, though.
Yeah, but I gave him a standing ovation. You know.
Wait, what?
Yeah, listen, man. Like,
Team Petty President. Yes, gave I was LeBron thinking. LeBron a standing O.
Fraud.
A bigger fraud than Trump.
Whoa. I don't like being in the same sentence as that man. No, but I. No, I stood up. I gave him his, you know, I gave him his due, and that was it. I booed him for the rest of the game. Now, I was listening to Levitar today, and they said instead of booing, we should just moo because mooing makes you happier. And I think I might do that tomorrow. I might moo. I might just be like, moo, moo, and we'll see what happens. But I feel better right now. It's a good idea.
Mooing.
I'm probably going to cry.
You're definitely going to cry. There's not even a doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I emote very publicly, and I've cried thinking about crying, by the way. Like, I've cried, like, I've teared up thinking about the montage when he comes out and he raises his hand and waves, like.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, it's more about, like, how they left, because I really enjoyed the game when Mike Miller came back with the Grizzlies.
That was one of my favorite games I've ever been to.
That was a great game because we were getting our butt kicked, and in the fourth quarter, there's this little kid in front of me. He was probably like 4 or 5, and he turns to his mom, and he's like, we're going to lose. I think we're down by 13 in the fourth or something ridiculous. And I turned to the kid, and I was like, listen to me right now.
You don't have the guts.
I was like, we are winning this game, okay? Do not worry, okay? And then for the rest of the quarter, every time I made a shot, he looked back at me like I was some god, you know? Some demagogue. Demagogue, sorry. And... it was true. We came back and we won. It was such a great game, but
outstretched. Yes.
But that was cool because you know, the team really liked Mike and to give him his ring and all that other stuff.
Did you see the pregame when they were mauling him while he was shooting yes. around? That was so cool, dude.
So that was more not much of a crier. I feel like you cry for a lot of anime and stuff, but not me. Oh, you know, I don't really cry. I don't cry a lot, so. I mean, it'll be weird seeing him in another uniform. I'm sure he's going to kill us tomorrow. Like, I know he's going to have like 40.
Would you have it any other way though?
I'd love him to do well in that game and us to win. But honestly, I think Wade's going to get hurt soon. So I just hope that doesn't happen. But I had this bad feeling.
Hear me out, just like the rest
of 2016.
It's 2016 stays letting us down, man. Hear me out on this, because I was thinking about the game tomorrow, and I was thinking when LeBron played Cleveland, it was kind of LeBron and the Heat against the Cavs, right? So there was this whole storyline of LeBron going home. It was a very hostile environment.
Right.
And I think the ultimately most interesting storyline there was him winning at Cleveland, right? Because it was him validating his decision to leave. Because he left for he didn't leave for money. He left for championships. He left and he left that. Like, there was something. It was him against the fans. When the same thing with Toronto. Then when LeBron left Miami and the Heat played LeBron, I felt it was the same, right? It was like Miami still had stars and Chris and Dwayne and Hassan, and they were going up against LeBron and they were actually competing for each other. Now, since the Heat kind of stink. And the fans like Dwayne. It's not like it's Dwayne against the fans. Like, if Miami beats Dwayne, I think that's kind of a boring storyline. Like, if Dwayne plays well and wins, I think that's very interesting. And obviously, I want the Heat to win, but I'm talking about just an interesting narrative standpoint. I think it's most interesting if he beats Miami, right? And has a good game.
People will be there tomorrow for Wade. Right, I'm not sure if the Heat continue to lose or shoot the way they're shooting. I'm not sure, like, you know, there are going to be as many people showing up. I mean, there's always going to be the, you know, I think the sellout element because these tickets get sold. But in terms of how many people are actually there is a different story. So, yeah, I mean, the international, the national story would be, you know, does how does Wade look against his old team? How does his new team look? Like, that's more interesting. Yeah, the Heat beating the Bulls probably wouldn't be much on a regular night in November. People want to see what Wade can do, and I'm not – I don't think it was necessarily bad for either side, for Wade or for the Heat. I just think it was kind of time to move on, and, you know, I mean, it's sad.
I disagree with you there.
I know you do.
I get why you think that, but, wow, the Celtics are getting thudded, dude.
Were they playing?
8-34?
Oh, they're – they're having
Not that good, dude. They're struggling early against bad teams.
I'm surprised because the team was good last year with a bunch of nobodies, and they added Horford, who I like quite a bit as a player. No, he's not.
He's not playing well.
I'm not sure. It might take time for them to get together, but to get it together. But I think the issue with Wade and why the comments bother me, and the more he talks, and I know he's being asked questions, so he can answer any way he wants.
Oh, no, wait, let me pause you. Should we fire up our segment, or do you want to wait? Like, is this going to fall in line?
Let's wait a little, because I don't really know where I'm going yet. I mean, the greatness of the hot takes is they literally fly out of, like, orifices I didn't know I had. I realize I probably just said that word wrong, but orifices.
I'll take it.
Listen, I think that he doesn't really understand exactly what happened. I mean, he says he knows what happened, right? But I don't think he does. You know, he talks about he was happy Bosch got his money, he's happy this guy got his money. But I think if we sat down and asked Wade about the salary cap, I'm not sure if he would actually understand it. Maybe that is my hot take. I don't know if Wade understands the salary cap.
Are you calling Dwayne stupid?
I'm calling him naive, I think is what I want to say.
That's your move, dude. That's your move. You call people naive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good word.
I'm starting to learn this.
It's the hot take Harry lingo. But I really do think there's some confusion there. I mean, the Heat offered him all they could. I realize he says he would have liked that offer earlier on the table, but he was also on a cruise with the Devils. So it's not like it's not like there was that much wiggle room. The Heat went after Hassan, which they had to, or he was probably going to the Mavericks. And they, you know, wanted to sit in a room with KD. Whether that was smart or not is up for debate, but you know, it seems like Wade knew the plan and then didn't want to know the plan, right? The same way
Can you blame him for him wanting the third year and them not giving it to him?
I'm not sure if I blame Dwayne Wade, the basketball player, the guy who's done everything for the Heat, you know, what he's done for the, you know, the basketball in Miami. But I think like, if you want to win, if you want to do well, you'd have to say he needs a little bit of blame. And I know you asked Anthony if they were going to hug Riley and Wade tomorrow. I don't think they will. I think a lot of their issues comes back to LeBron leaving with Wade knowing and not saying anything. And that crushed whatever relationship Riley had with them. Like, it's never been the same after that. When they do a really good 30 for 30 on the big three, that'll be like the moment when the relationship completely deteriorated.
I love that you say that because I can't think of a more interesting team in my lifetime. I don't know if I'm saying that just because I'm from Miami, but that team was just immensely interesting, immersive. It had so many elements. It had kind of the rock star vibe, the way they got together, the way they broke up, how they existed in this space that we will probably never see again in American sports because they changed how teams get looked at, right? Like, imagine, like, if this Warriors team happened 6 years ago, could you imagine the dumpster fire that would be around them? It's relatively quiet now.
And the Celtics were an interesting case study before because of the team they put together. And if they hadn't got injured, I think they would have won more than one championship. But they weren't all free agents. They weren't all in the prime of their careers. Yeah, and they weren't all, you know, they weren't the guys in the prime of their career, and they weren't guys that were just. I mean, you could argue that all these guys were superstars when they came down to Miami. It's one of the most. I mean, they could do a really fascinating case study on that team, on the pressure from inside the team itself, on the pressure from outside, from fans and media, and then the weird hate that Miami gets because we're Miami. I mean, there's just no denying that Miami as a city faces more hate than other places. I mean, listen, fans leave early everywhere, but for some reason, people leave early in Miami. It's national news, and they don't even talk about it anywhere else. So it really is a It really was a fun team to watch. I mean, as I remove myself from the hate of LeBron leaving, and I still don't wish him well. Though, I mean, those years were cool, man. We'll never see something like that again, ever. Like, I have to tell my kids about where I was and, you know, my reactions and just the response and people banging on pots and pans and
came
just
on the precipices. Of precipice. Wow.
We're doing real good with words today.
I mean, woof.
We got the best words.
I don't even want to try that word again. You guys know what I mean.
Hashtag he beat the 790.
Yeah. Hashtag he beat the 790. Are you listening, Entercom? Alex Lend, Brian the Beast London. Ouch.
We speak good.
We is good. What was I saying? God. Words.
Precipice.
You said precipice of something.
Oh yeah, this team was on that thing of social media, right? Like we were at the age where that was coming in. True. So like Twitter boomed around that time, which I think Twitter community was kind of born of that in a way, right?
I mean, social media has a big impact. I'm always wondering because I was still fairly young at the end of like Jordan's reign. Social media with Jordan would have been really interesting. Like just a Barkley really too. Yeah, Jordan and Barkley are just very divisive figures in general, both as basketball players and as people. And it just would have been interesting to see like what had happened. Regardless of how I feel about these guys, the beating they take both physically from the game and mentally from everything around them, including social media, is insane. Like, I don't know how they concentrate on basketball and do as well as they do in this era where everything they do is dissected. Can I also say something else that I missed way earlier? I knew the Heat were going to get crushed against OKC on Monday when I heard that it was Justice and TJ were cuddling up under the covers from the ghosts. Like, I knew it was over. I knew, like, there's no, you can't win a game when you're afraid of ghosts, okay? There's no way when your two best young players are cuddling up under the blankets like Scooby and Shaggy, you got no chance.
So I guess we know now that Justice and Tyler believe in ghosts.
They believe in ghosts. They believe in each other. They believe in comforting each other, and that's it didn't work.
No, ghosts aren't real. They have to not be scared.
I would say that I'm on the side that I don't think ghosts are real, but supernatural things tend to happen, and it's hard to deny a lot of those things. So that
listen, Justice has to be bigger than that. Justice and TJ, they're going to soon be the faces of this franchise. They got to be grow up.
I'm telling you, Justice needs to cut his hair.
Dude, Brian, what's with you wanting to cut? Just stop. Brian is on this like Twitter crusade, and he's like, Justice needs to cut his hair, and everybody's ignoring you because it's a terrible idea.
How's it terrible?
It's borderline racist, I think.
Yeah, no. Thank you for saying that because you just want like he has wacky hair and it's awesome, and Brian's like, I want it to be clean cut.
I'm all about guys with like enjoy the style. I told you I don't like the Luke Babbitt thing. He looks like
it's ruining his jump shot.
Who is it? You that says he looks like he cuts his own hair?
Someone else said that. I said he looked like he's locked in his parents' basement and gets let out once a day. That's what he looks. That's what he looks. So listen, if we're talking about restyling Luke Babbitt's hair, let Justice do it. But otherwise, it's possible that Justice is seeing ghosts when he's shooting, and that's why he's missing.
You know what? That's a better theory than anything we have said on this show.
Yeah.
No, his shot releases off because of his hair.
Okay, Brian, listen, go back to being quiet, okay? You know what? Where's your muzzle?
Yeah, I don't think it's, Brian, I don't think it's the hair. I mean, listen, we could try it. We could just be like, Jay Justice, you know, I think you were better when you had a shaved head or whatever, or less hair, and, you know, see how he responds. But I think he's going to respond with, I'm going to wear my hair the way I want, and you should be quiet.
Hashtag Winslow's fro got to go.
Oh, my God. That's bad.
I'm going to have to walk back some TJ slander.
Yeah, can you do that? Because he's been excellent.
Yeah, he's made me eat it in a way that I'm uncomfortable eating it.
Can I say something that's ridiculous and you're going to be mad, but it's true? Maybe this is my hot take. Fire up the music.
Okay, now fire up the imagery. Let's go!
And now it's time for a new segment we like to call Hot Take Harry. Hot Take Harry. Harrison Citrin has been waiting all week long.
All week long.
All week long. To fire up some of his latest spit-firing takes. takes so strident and cocksure, that you don't care if they are both ridiculous and wrong. Because you love it. It's going to be lit.
That imaging is so long, you need to change that.
We'll shorten it, but I like it. I'm like, I love the British guy, I love the music, I like the ending. Anyway, Tyler Johnson has actually been better than Dwayne Wade this season. And that's because Tyler Johnson plays defense. Something that Dwayne Wade has become allergic to in his last few years and now that he's left the Heat, because Fred Hoiberg doesn't know what defense means, and that team is allergic to defense. So Tyler's been better. Tyler's been a revelation.
No, he hasn't.
Tyler's been a revelation, and Tyler will continue to be better than Dwayne Wade in his long, illustrious career. Wade only has a few years left.
You're a psycho.
And that's what we're that's the hot take.
You are a psycho.
Now, I'm probably going to eat it tomorrow, which I do.
Psycho take Harry. He's going to own Tyler, and he's going to dunk. Listen, Westbrook's my hero for doing what he did the other day, dunking on Tyler, then walking over him.
Okay.
Thank you, Russ.
Westbrook's a savage. But honestly, it's arguable that Tyler has been better than Wade this year. And the more Wade shoots on the outside, the more he will continue to regress. And that team's going to be – he's going to have trouble, you know, scoring if he doesn't go back to his game, which is drive to the basket. You know that's going to go down. You know it's –
I don't know, dude. I don't even know anymore.
It's an aberration.
I don't know anymore. Dude, I don't know anymore. Your thing on Dwayne being better than Tyler, Dwayne has so much more responsibility, and Dwayne does a million more things on offense. Like, Tyler's a good shooter, and I guess so is Dwayne this year. Tyler's shooting fewer threes than Dwayne, by the way.
No, but I'm being serious. Like, if you factor in offense and defense, right, I think Tyler's been the more all-around player.
I don't think Dwayne's been terrible defensively.
Man, he's already walking back. Like when he gets discouraged already.
I mean, but Tyler plays hard. I can't deny that.
And I don't know. I don't even know the Bulls' record. I'm not sure if I didn't look. I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think they're a fragile team. Rondo's a lunatic. Wade hopefully stays healthy, but you know his legs. He's got a lot of miles on those legs.
If Rondo gets hurt, that might be the best thing to happen to that team.
That's true. I'm hoping Rondo stays healthy. But, I'm not expecting big things from the team. Now, the other teams I thought would be good aren't doing great either. So, you know, I'm not on the best roll. I just – I think
teams
that team –
like that tend to overachieve in the playoffs, so, Harrison.
Right, but what I'm saying is it seems like the Bulls are making really tough shots that they won't make and will end up regressing. And the Heat are missing pretty easy shots that they should be making. And those will end up pushing up towards a positive regression. So
I will provide a counter to that in which the Bulls have tough shot makers. Dwayne has hit tough shots his whole life. Jimmy Butler makes tough shots. Those guys are built for making inefficient shots. The Heat are missing wide open shots with guys that are below average. That would be my counter argument. Not that you're wrong, because I expect the numbers to even out in both directions. However, I think in the playoffs or when games get tight, you kind of favor the Chicago style that would drive smart basketball people insane.
I think we're knocking the Heat a bit based on a very small sample size, you know, as you like to call it, a small sample size theater.
Six games.
And it's very small. And we've played good teams. I mean, like Anthony was saying, we've lost to teams that you probably expected us to lose to if you had, you know, if you were a betting person. So
Alex Toledo on the website wrote a piece that said this is the only bad loss Miami's had.
Which was a bad loss? Oh, bad loss in terms of
how much Thunder was the only bad loss, yeah. Because are those other losses bad?
I think the Hornets loss is bad just because of the circumstances, but obviously you've seen that they look like a team that can make some noise in the East this year. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily bad. And they're well coached and they ended up, you know, adjusting in the second half and killing us because of it. So, I could agree with that was really the only bad loss. I mean, listen, people are going to get more angry if we end up picking up more losses. But if you look at the schedule, it's not that easy, and there are a lot of teams that could be beating us. So, you know, I mean, we most of us, what was the average of the Heat beat was, we were right at 500, right? The collective group effort,
I think it was 38 wins.
38? I thought we had originally, we were like 41 and 41. So, listen, if everything fell right, we could sneak into the playoffs. If things don't go right, if Hassan is not as engaged, if we can't hit open shots, they'll eventually trade Goran, and then we have no shot. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we are. I'm not mad. I mean, there's nothing I've been watching where I'm getting super frustrated. The only thing I forgot to ask Anthony was, are you guys, what about this long leash Spo hats? Does that like bother you? Should he be making more adjustments in game? Should he be trying other guys? I mean, because that's my complaint about Spo, is that he doesn't react to the game quick enough while it's happening.
I will disagree with you, because I think in the playoffs, Dwayne has, Spo does make changes. I don't think that's something that he doesn't do. I mean, he's constantly changes his starting lineup. He adjusts, he tinkers, I remember specifically in the Spurs season, in the Spurs series of 2013, he was making adjustments every game. It was game to game adjustments. Maybe, I don't know if he's slow on it. I just think he kind of waits for things to happen because he doesn't jump ship quickly. I guess, is that what you're saying? That he doesn't jump ship?
Have you ever met people that are just very, very bright, where it takes them like even longer maybe to respond to a question you ask? Like, you ask them a question you view as simple, and their response takes longer because they're thinking of like exactly how they want to phrase it. That's Spo with in-game management. I think he like sees things he doesn't like and is thinking, okay, maybe I could tweak this or tweak that. But by the time he's ready to do that, like, the other team's already ran off a big – or times where you're like, man, Spo could really use a timeout. And he's sitting there like, trying to just like get the timeout together. Those are my brief like things that I just haven't really liked that I've been watching where listen, you got a lot of timeouts to use. You have a lot of guys on your bench. Why wouldn't you throw Derek Williams out there for 3 minutes and see what he does? If he's horrible, then we're all dumb, and you take him back out. And you're just like, all right, Derek, that's why you're not playing, because you stink. You know, but if you don't play him, you never know. And, people in general on this on Heatbeat are always like, we don't see what happens in practice, which is true. But I think it's worth a shot. Even if the guy had the worst practice, you never know what he's going to do out on the court, and vice versa.
I kind of tend to side with how Spo reasons these things out. Like, you have your sample and you kind of ride with your guys because you trust them to correct it. And I also think you buy a little bit in your locker room with that. If things are not going well and you kind of stick with a couple guys when maybe you could yank them, I think that buys something with you, because if you're just yanking them at the first sign of trouble, I think guys tend to lose a little bit of, like, hey, coach, come on, you don't trust me? I think in the playoffs, Spo has a lot. I mean, if you remember the Mike Miller thing, it was, if he wasn't making the first one or two threes, he was getting yanked. You know, like, so we've seen Spo in the playoffs have a quick hook with guys. I just think a lot of times, especially in the regular season, he really lets it play out to see what he has and see how guys do in adversity.
Gianni, he needs that hook with guys that you've described as below average, right? It's one thing if
you're replacing him with another. I mean, like, you having shooting problems, and Justice is not shooting well. I mean, what are you gonna do? You're kind of stuck with him, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with Justice. I just think, like, I don't know. I would just be more active. I mean, that's not necessarily the best way to coach. Spo is more of a passive coach where he kind of lets his guys figure it out. But especially when it seems like no one's hitting shots, I would be more proactive.
Because, like, Ellington's hurt, and I guess it's just Derek. I mean, are we arguing about Derek Williams and his hair?
Probably. I mean, I'm a big D. Will fan, even though I don't know much about him. So that's how it works.
No, Winslow's hair.
I got stop, Brian. Listen, how about you do your job and get us the mailbag imaging? Because we're going to do some mailbag right now. We have some. You can check us out at the hashtag MHB mailbag.
Send us your hot takes and questions.
Welcome to a new segment we like to call the Heatbeat mailbag. You've sent us your questions and hot takes using the hashtag MHB mailbag. Now it's our turn to give you our answers and tell you how wrong your opinions are.
Then what do we got here? Oh, from Hot Take Harry. I wonder who that guy is. Spo is one of the best coaches in the NBA while simultaneously not being anything special. Hashtag MHB mailbag. You agree with him, Harrison?
That guy, he's on to something. I think what I was trying to get at was that even though Spo is one of the best in the league and, you know, people want to fire Spo, there really is not a better replacement out there. I don't think he's, like, that amazing. I think he has a lot of flaws that he needs to work on, and we're seeing them exposed with this team. I think we'll see them more this year. I don't think Spo's the end-all be-all like a lot of people do. I think he's one of the better coaches in the league, but also not anything amazing, and I think he needs to work more to get this team up to shape, and he needs to adjust more. And
you're a Spo hater.
No, I'm not. I'm just a realist. I've seen Spo. I've seen his flaws, and there's just things that he has to work on and will work on. He'll get better. He'll get better.
Reach into the mailbag. Let's see what else we have. We have time for two more. All right, next question. Are we in line for a top 10 pick? Hashtag MHB mailbag.
From who was that?
That was from Deplorable White Kid at FINSFA. I hate these long. I'm not going to read. Your Twitter handle's too difficult. I'm not even going to say it.
Me too. He also voted for Trump.
Did he?
Yeah, Deplorable White Kid? Yeah.
I think it's a joke, right?
I don't know. Who knows? Everyone was joking and then voting behind their back. So, top 10 pick? I don't know. What say you, Gianni?
I don't think so. I think they're going to make playoffs. I think they're going to be an 8 seed. I think the East is pretty bad. And I think they'll have a chance. I think 38 wins will get you in.
I think the East is worse than people thought. Especially Jorge was so high on the East. I don't know what he was talking about. Jorge Sedano. But I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, and top 10 would be... I don't think they're going to be a top 10 pick, but I think they're going to be in the lottery.
Okay, one more. Reaching in. What do we got here? Let's find a good one. Okay, from Crab, from at Crab Smut Peddler, our boy, Crab. Bumpy should be starting over Dion. He has a skill set that goes beyond shouting and one as he crashes his car into a pole. Listen, dude.
Crap.
I'm all about the Dion starters. That starting lineup is good. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't even put Richardson in the starting lineup. I wouldn't change
kind of. I'm with you, man. I kind of like the starting lineup. I don't like Dion closing the game. So what I do is...
That's my problem,
I have a very, very short leash on Dion. Like I said, you start him, see what he does. If he goes out there and makes a couple layups, which odds are he won't, then cool. If he doesn't, you got to pull him out of the game.
I think he's matchup specific at the end of the game and depending how he's going. Something that I will piggyback off of what we're like. I think Spo does a good job of riding hot hands at the end of games. Like, he's not a slave to a closing rotation. That changes game to game.
I would agree with you there. And the thing that's interesting about Dion is he's been so confusing because he, he had that pretty good game against the Kings, but it was this game where he's just doing everything you don't want him to do, and he'd end up hitting shots. He misses layups, and his one-on-one defense has been good. So he's confusing. But I kind of like Richardson and TJ off the bench. We'll see what happens. Dion could also be moved if throughout the season. Lots going on.
All right, guys, thank you so much for our show. We didn't have a funny... We always have a funny ending, and we didn't have a funny ending. That was your cue to say something funny.